you're here. Fellowship's real. Knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday, February 10th, 2017, and we have a special guest in the studio that will be introduced in just a moment. Let me highlight a few things before we dive into God's Word, as typically the case on Friday. But for those of you that stayed away because of the snow on Wednesday, our Thursday conversational English class was packed. I think we had close to 30 international students again, so that was a neat sight to see and interact with all these international students. We generally have about 20 to 25 from the Asian countries. I call it my Asian invasion, but we had an individual from Mexico, so it was nice, and he's going to become a regular, and a few from, I think, Pakistan, and some from Taiwan. It was a great class, and then we launched into our wellness workshops, and we had three sessions yesterday, and I think that was close to 30 different people attended those, so they fought through the snow and were a part of the gatherings here yesterday at the Great News Radio Center. But today, a special guest that came alongside Pastor Jason Schiffel is the First Lady. I love calling you that, Tasha. You deserve that title with the various roles you have as a partner in ministry with your husband. You know, from greeting to Sunday school. What you oversee, I know, some of the children's programs, or you help, I know, facilitate some of the details to get everyone checked in.
Awana Cubbies.
Prayer coverage for your husband.
Covering.
I think sounding board.
Sounding board, making meals for people.
Yeah, there's a myriad of ways that you serve and love people. I think that sometimes one of the difficult things is that people don't know, you know, the ways that you serve them that are not always evident, which is praying for them. I know many times during the day you'll pray for somebody. I know that just the other day our neighbor was having some difficulty, and you came over and said, hey, we need to pray for this person. And so, you know, I sent you a message the other day and said, you know, I just need you to pray for me right now. And you are so faithful in praying. You're so faithful in the way that you lift people up. And oftentimes those things are not seen. There's no picture of somebody praying for somebody else generally. There's no, you know, you just don't have any evidence of that happening. And yet I know in your life it is always happening. I see you praying for people constantly. And so I think that's one thing that people don't know and they don't see, the amount of time and heart that you sow into praying for folks.
Oh, gosh, guys. Come and sit on my throne here every once in a while, and I'll just wear my crown, and you guys just extol all these great things.
Well, and
me.
let me throw in a little more, the hospitality gift. I know, Jason, you've talked about with some of the neighbors and some of the different cultures that you're reaching out into and some of the inroads where
that's
they
probably one of my favorite
have
things
felt
to
it's
do
been safe.
To feed people and just go out in the neighborhood and see how people are doing. That's probably my favorite thing.
Yeah. Well, and you've built some great bridges. We have some folks who are neighbors a few doors down who are from Turkey. And so they're a Muslim background, and they're, the wife is learning English. The husband, he works at Carl. But you've built some great inroads with them, just relationships, just investing in them and getting a chance. You know, whereas I'm kind of all over the place because there's so much going on, you've been able to really focus in on and let them know that they're loved. In fact, I remember it was, a month ago or so when you got invited to a birthday party where you were like the only Christian at the birthday party
in December. And
they they loved having you there, and you were welcomed, and the neighbors brought over a meal for you and she makes ethnic food and that, and so, and I know we spent time praying for them too, because just we know that some of the rhetoric that we hear in politics, and we know that things are really difficult in their country, and they have family over there, that again, that moment where you love people through prayer, I keep seeing that in you, and I keep seeing that welling up in how you carry people in prayer. And so you know, while you may set the table well, I think that's just innately kind of who you are, and your mom is that way too. But the way I see you pray for people, I don't see a lot of people do that sometimes. And I'm just always kind of in awe. I think that's why, like I said, the other day I sent you that message, because I knew that whatever I was facing, your prayers would help carry me through it. And so, yeah.
Along with mothering for children, which is
that's just a part-time job.
yeah. And the inspiration, I don't know if you noticed, you probably didn't see it when you came in, but the open and close sign was because I saw it at your house, and I think it was at Menards or Lowe's,
right,
with the little clock in Real Return. That's where I got that from, the idea from your home, and that's up front
now. So let me ask you, when people come to the Great News Radio Station or Great News Radio Center and they see the turned and says closed, do they still bang on the door and ring the doorbell like all the neighborhood kids do? Because in our neighborhood, that means closed means
nothing.
Maybe still open.
Try anyway.
Try again. There might be food on the stove right now.
Yeah. Their chances are they probably have been asleep a while. It's time for them to get up anyways.
We should wake them up.
Never fails. On Sunday nap time, always we turn it to closed, and then there's like bum, 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 bum. Did you see closed? Uh-huh.
Yeah, that didn't mean anything. Nope. They're pretty good here.
But I think another thing, too, that you do that I think that maybe folks don't know, but we've talked about it before on the program, you've really led in a strong way at Bible Study Fellowship. You've been a part of leading there and guiding there, first of all, as a women's discussion leader. And that women's group, Holly's in that group.
Yes.
And my gosh, I mean, that thing is like
300.
Almost 300 ladies.
About 300 ladies and I think about 120 children right now.
Yeah, and so I know that you, for many years, did the women's discussion groups. But then you said, you know what, I want to serve the kids and I want to just like sow into them. And you've been doing that and a lot of people, again, don't see all that happens behind the scenes in that, and I do. And I so appreciate, like, every week, Tasha will be like, you know, let me read you the story, you know, when you got to teach. Let me read you the story, and you tell me what you think. And let me tell you the questions I'm going to ask the kids, and tell me what you think. And I'm always, you know, when you see people do that, you realize how God's using them. You see the strength of, you know, so when you do the stories, gosh, she's going to leave here, and she's going to be like, can you carry me to the car?
My head. Could you open up both those doors?
Yeah, good thing we got double doors here so we can get you through it.
But
I really do. I see those moments and I say, you know what? This is not just my wife that I'm seeing. I'm seeing the beauty of the Holy Spirit. I'm seeing how God is using her and how, you know, those words on that page, like I could never have dreamed she would write those words. And yet I'm watching God use her. It reminds me of sometimes when I say things in a sermon and I go, where did that come from? Mm-hmm. Like, that's not on the paper. That's not in my head. That's something else. And the ways that God uses us. So I'm always just kind of blown away by how first of all, how God uses you, but then how he stretched you and kind of is placed you and keeps placing you in new positions where he can use you in even greater ways.
And I will say one more thing before Tasha is like,
today's Tasha Appreciation Program.
I can't even tell you how many times, and literally I can't even tell you how many times he's teared up. And you've said this over the air, I've married up.
Oh, yeah.
My wife did this. My wife spoke this insight into me. My wife challenged me in a positive way when I needed a hammering.
Yeah.
My wife, and always choked up and always sincere and always honoring you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and we've talked about it many times on the program, but I mean, just the testimony of the fact that when Tasha and I married, I wasn't a Christian. And when Tasha and I married, I was, you know, I didn't know what it meant to be faithful. I didn't know what it meant to be loving. I didn't know what it meant. I knew what it meant to survive. I knew what it meant to get by. And I knew that I really wanted to love somebody, and I really wanted to be faithful, and I really wanted to do all those things. But I didn't know what it meant. And so, you know, that moment where I came home, you know, was still kind of steeped in all of my selfishness. And Tasha had to do the hardest thing in the world, which was to say, you know what? I'm going to draw a really hard line here, and I'm leaving. Because I cannot do this anymore. And it was that moment that God used powerfully to push me over the edge, to kind of crack open that hard heart. I mean, that was the hammer of his grace that broke the stone of my heart in half. And then out of that began to pour all of these things. And just how God used that the next day where I prayed and I gave my life to him, I believe is just a powerful way. It feels so Apostle Paul when I read, you know, Acts chapter 8. It just feels that way. And how she called, you know, almost immediately and said, you know, we can work on this. But things are going to have to change. And just to find out afterwards, you know, hey, for those 2 years that really stunk in our marriage, I prayed for you every day. And to hear that kind of faithfulness, to know that kind of faithfulness. I mean, I can't help but think that God gave me a wife that I didn't deserve, just like he's given me grace that I didn't deserve. And yet I want to rejoice in that. And I'm like every other husband who's listening to this, stumbling along the way, trying to figure out what all that looks like. But my gosh, you know what? God uses our wives in such powerful ways. And sometimes I think as husbands, we don't say thank you enough.
And a disclaimer here, just so everyone knows, Tasha had no idea whatsoever we were going to invite her in. She was actually outside in the other room with Samuel. If you listen carefully, you'll hear little Samuel making little sounds or singing or talking. But we just said, hey, come on in. And so
here
she
I
had
am.
No, yeah. So anyway, so what are we going to talk about today, Jason?
Well, you know what? I'd love for Tasha to talk a little bit about Bible study fellowship, because I think that there's probably in the sphere of people listening, some ladies who have never really heard that there is a place where a huge gathering of women come and they encourage one another, they love one another, they challenge one another, and they grow together in the gospel. And so I think that maybe, you know, I think like when I talk to guys and they say, I didn't know there was a Bible study fellowship on Monday nights. I think in the same way, they don't know that there's many women who probably don't know that this is available and that it's open, and then they don't know that it's free. And so a lot of the roadblocks, I think, that people might say, well, you know, I just can't afford that. I just can't. They're taken away. And so the only reason that you would say no is that you would say, you know what, I don't need another thing to do. I don't want to grow anymore. I mean, you could come up with excuses, but they would really reveal your heart. And so I would love for you to talk maybe a little bit about that and how it's changed your life.
Unscripted, unpracticed, unrehearsed. There we go, Tasha.
Well, I think for me, when I look back, how did I not know about this earlier? How did I miss this? I think it's such a huge, it's a treasure to have Bible study fellowship where there are women of all generations. There's 100-year-olds and there's tiny little infants, and there's a place for each one of these people there, whether you're a child or a baby or a grandma or a mom or just a single woman. There's a place for you at Bible study fellowship, and you learn from so many different people, and they're all from different churches and different areas of their life. And that's where the real gem in it is studying God's word and seeing it through all these different people.
And I think it's a safe place too, right? I mean, it's like you get into a small group and it's the same ladies each week. There's like a larger presentation. So walk us through, somebody who shows up for the first time, what would happen?
Okay, so if you show up for the first time, first there are greeters and they will tell you where to go and what you're supposed to do. And so, but we start off in the morning, just like you would at church. There's an opening. We sing a couple songs. There's some announcements. And then we go our separate ways to our small group, and that's where we actually discuss what we've been studying for the last week. And then after that, we come back together as a larger group, and we hear a lecture from the passage that we've studied and we have just discussed. So it's a three-part study. Mm-hmm. It's the Bible study that you do on your own with the paper and the questions, and then there's also the lecture, and there's also the discussion is the three-part. And then there's commentary on what we've read, too.
Yeah. So help us to understand this. Say, like last week, What did you glean? I mean, last week, I think it was the latter half of John chapter 13 and 14. And by the way, one caveat I want to share is that the women meet on Tuesday morning at First Christian Church at 9:10. The men meet at First Baptist Church of Savoy on Monday night at 6:45.
With the children.
And so in the scope of all of this, there's a place for everybody. There's a place for your children on Monday night with dad, and there's a place for the pre-K kids with mom on Tuesday morning. And so there's a place for everybody. So what happens is Bible study fellowship can become this wonderful place where as a family we're growing in God. And by the way, no matter what age you are, you're all in the same passage. So like last week, our whole family was in the latter half of John 13 and John 14 and on discussing that. And so you're being able to have discussions around the kitchen table about, well, how do you think Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? Or what do you think when Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled, believe in God? I mean, this week I had to tell our son. He was talking about something, and I said, boy, it seems like your heart is troubled. Why can't you believe in God in this? Why can't you trust him? And he was like, oh, well, that's from Bible study fellowship. And so suddenly you can connect the dots. And praise God that there's these tracks to run on, because I think everybody is so busy, that's hard to do. So maybe help, you know, what were some things you gleaned out of that passage? Because you come home from your group, and I am always pretty blown away by the things you share. In fact, sometimes I get frustrated when I say, how was Bible study fellowship? And you say, oh, good. And then I'm like, no. Tell me some of the gold that was mined. Because you came home a number of weeks ago, and it was like the passage where Jesus is washing the disciples' feet. And you said to me, you go, you know, somebody shared that while Jesus was doing that, all the dirt from their feet would have been on him. And so at the end, there would have been all this dirt on Jesus. And that's what happens when Jesus saves us from our sin. He takes upon himself all of that crud and yuck. So there would have been this great picture of Jesus in the white robe with all this muck on him. Mm-hmm. And when you said that, I mean, I went right to my journal and I wrote it down in my journal. And I thought, that is such gold. Because that is something that I didn't even see. And that's one of the beauties, is that you get in a discussion group, and suddenly you have a lot of people seeing things a little bit differently. And it really, by the end of the discussion, you go, that picture is so full now.
Yeah. I think last week it was for me. We studied, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But trying to teach that to a child, how do you tell them what the way is and what the truth is and what the life is? You have to break that down for them. And so, you know, we break that down into snack time and singing songs about that and teaching the Bible story and, you know, getting up and, you know, which way are you going to go? Follow me. So you teach a child that. But then I realize, wait, I'm teaching myself this too. I've learned so much through the eyes of a child.
So would you think, let me just throw this out there, because I think this is on my mind and I keep forgetting to ask you. But do you think because you are intentionally working through children's lessons and having to think about that and having to think in that manner, that you see the Bible differently than, say, if you were in a discussion group with adults?
Oh, yes. You see it so much differently. You break it down to make it easier. Mm-hmm. And so making it easier for myself, it helps to evangelize, too, to teach other people who don't know about the Bible, who have never opened the Bible before. It makes it easier to talk to people about the Bible.
And I think you've said this on a number of occasions, Jason, that people are coming from different life experiences, backgrounds, even some that are new on their faith journey. And sometimes it's exciting because they're so new, they don't know all the Christian jargon. And so they'll just say, yep, God just loves me. I just know this. And yet then there's people that are steeped in doctrine and can explain certain things. And yet that's the beauty of Bible study fellowship. It reaches so many different people wherever they're at on their faith journey.
Yeah, I remember last year we were in our discussion group with Revelation. And, you know, we're talking about all the things happening in the passage of Revelation. And, of course, there's some people are talking about politics and there's some people are I mean, there's all this discussion happening. And then one guy who was like, well, you know, I've only been a Christian for a couple months. And when I read this Revelation, all I see is worship and evangelism. God wants to see people saved and he wants to be glorified. And we're all like, everybody in the room like paused, like, oh, my gosh. Like the horn was just blown, because all of us big headed people in the room who know so much Bible were just humbled by somebody who was brand new to the faith, who could only see worship and evangelism. And it was a moment where you're just like, thank you, Lord, because that was what a gift, because we were seeing more than needed to be seen. Sometimes I just want God to show me just the simple message you've got here. And that's one of the things, as you share with me the stories when you're writing them for the kids, that's one of the things that's powerful for me. In fact, this week I'll teach out of a passage that we did in Bible Study Fellowship. And if you are in the room, which you're not going to be this week at our church, because you're going to be leading in children's ministry, you would hear some of your story, because I blatantly stole it from you, because because you presented it with such simplicity that I thought nobody will miss what I'm saying here. Nobody will miss it, because it is so easy to understand. And it was a gift from you to me for that, because the minute I heard it, I go, like, that's gold. And I wrote it down. And so I did put your name by it, though, so I knew where it came from.
Thanks, honey.
What's that fee that she gets, for usage fee?
Well, yeah, there would be
the
a fee. That, there would be a fee that I would pay, but I thought since we live together, maybe I could get around that.
And for those of you that may have tuned in and are unfamiliar with Jason Schiffel, he lives with Tasha, his wife. They properly got married and they've done it in the right order.
Praise
More
God.
More information than they might have needed to know.
Praise God.
You just never know who's
in our multiple failures, this we did well. So, you know what? I would love, because I think we're at the tail end of our program, but I would love, Tasha, if you would pray for us. And specifically, I help with Awana with you on Sunday nights, but I always love how you intro the kids into prayer. So I wonder if you would pray for us.
Oh. We fold our hands, we bow our heads so we can talk to God just now. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to lift high your word, to lift high your good things. Father, we thank you for Bible Study Fellowship. We thank you for the people who come together to study your word. We thank you for the people who are willing to serve in that capacity outside of their churches. We thank you that the people who do serve are trained up to serve in their own churches. We ask, Lord, that you will continue guiding us in how to serve that way. And I just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be with Mark and Jason today. I pray for your protection over them. I pray for your protection over Mark and Holly and their marriage and their family and this ministry. And I say these things in your name and for all of your glory. Amen.
Amen.
And all of God's people said, Amen. Bible Study Fellowship, get involved. The men's class meets at the First Baptist Church of Champaign in Savoy on Monday nights. And on Tuesday, the women meet at the First Christian Church of Champaign. Well, I'm going to close out with a portion of a love song that I know surely expresses Jason's love for Tasha and vice versa. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo and First Lady Tasha with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.
I don't know how I could love you any more than I do now. As I take your hand, it's to God I make this vow. To share your joy, to bear your pain, I'll be there in the sunshine and through the rain. There's just no loving you anymore than I do now.
I take this man to be my husband.
I take this woman to be my wife. And I am ready to share with you the rest of my life. I give my love with no conditions. As I stand with you right now, I understand what it is to make.